the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself and Tommy Dreamer break down AEW Dynamite. We get into Jericho and Hook. We get into our very own Thunder Rosa, Will Ospreay main event with Claudio Castagnoli, and of course, Mercedes, and where do we go from here? A lot to do with Tommy and I on a Thursday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. Kind of a rarity, especially with Chris Jericho involved, but I thought that segment with Hook and Taz last night was a miss for me, and there's a couple of reasons why. I'm watching that segment, and I'm like, man, I really wish that this story was told a lot longer than it has. It just feels like they rushed Jericho and Hook getting together, and they rushed the breakup of them, and then they're rushing this match. Like, it just feels like they're taking it on a sprint instead of a marathon. And I was thinking as I'm watching it, it would have been kind of cool if we saw Jericho and Hook together for a while having success. You know, maybe even winning a tag team title and having like a lengthy run and then losing it and then seeing it break apart. And then Jericho saying to Hook, like, man, I carried you. I'm the veteran. I'm the one with the experience. You're the young boy. You know, you need to listen to me. You never would have had the success you had if it wasn't for me. Now it just, it feels to me it's been rushed and it's falling kind of flat. And that kind of describes the segment last night. Like, I felt like they were building towards something and we never really quite got there. What do you think about what I'm saying? Is there any truth to what I'm saying, Tommy?
Yes. Time-wise, right? We've had not a lot of time to get emotionally invested in this team. That was rocky from its foundation to the start, because even if once they got together, it was like, hey, I understand that, you know, and Hook said, you're Chris Jericho. Like, I understand what you can do because I've watched wrestling my whole life. Having Chris Jericho saddle up to Hook is one thing. Having Chris Jericho and Hook having success was like, maybe I, as the younger wrestler, I was wrong. I even didn't listen to my father because my father said, hey, maybe you don't want to trust him that much. That's why there's no emotional investment for you that this team. Like, I think the fans kind of saw this happening with Jericho from the start. And like you said, length. They haven't been together all that long. The segment was had a good build at first, and then once the physicality happened, I kind of had like, ooh, wait a minute. Like, I thought, like, if I realistic, right? I'll never forget that. I told you my father lost his vision, plus he had Parkinson's disease. He was walking really, really slow, and a person at a table, because my mom was, she looked, you know, a lot younger than my father, and I'm walking by, and somebody says something, and it's just like that woman with the, they called my father the R word, right? And rage. And I just put my father in the seat and I went right over to them. And I was ready to beat the hell out of them. And then the waiter comes over and he's like, you're Tommy Dreamer. Now I can't beat them up. Well, I could, but because it kind of took
identified.
It out of the zone.
Yeah.
And I went from like rage to like you. And I was like, do you understand that my father had five masters? You don't know this story. How dare you? And the guy was like, I'm so, so sorry. So, so sorry. But my first reaction was to, and this was a stranger, to just beat the hell out of the person. This is somebody that then pushed my father. And I would have loved not these. It was kind of like a slow boil. That's when Hook, just like in wrestling, he has to. I get that you're the calm, cool person, but you have to sometimes snap. And if somebody pushes my father down, you have to snap, whether it's just a suplex, whether, you know, and they played it off like even Taz when he went to the desk acted like he didn't mean to do that. Well, it was a deliberate push. And also, if you have this bad knee, whatever, Hook never went and checked on his dad.
Yeah.
And how, like, that was the disconnects for me, where I think that place would have come unglued if you're go instead of saying, get out of my ring, you throw him out of the ring. That's what a badass does. You know, hey, you just put your hands on, I T-bone suplex you out of the ring. This relationship's broken up. And then I also didn't like that Taz, I liked how they tried covering up. I would have had Taz at least leave for at least a segment. I went to the back. I got checked out. I'm all right. You know, like, hey, I'm a former pro wrestler. This happens. I got a bum knee. That's it. You don't need to be there right there. Just kind of sell it. And you also would have gotten a hero's welcome. Think of all the times when a football player gets hit, goes down, they sit out. At first, everyone's all worried, and then they come back. You know, if it's a worse injury, you do the thumbs up. Yay, he's not going to die today. But as opposed to, you know, this, when you come back, it would get kind of a hero's welcome. You do it in the back, too. You know, to his son, thanks for sticking up for me. Because there is a time when it happens to everybody. We all have experienced it. If you're a person in your 40s to 50s, where we start seeing our parents and we have to start taking care of our parents. We start seeing where our parents are getting older. And it's one of the hardest things. You and I have discussed this.
Yeah.
And if the fans wanted to see Taz of old, they wanted to see Taz take off those sunglasses and choke Jericho out. Cool. But it's not his time, and he does have health issues, so he can't do anything about it. But then when my son does it, like, it's like there's also a time where, as a parent, you're super proud of your son. And when your son does something in any athletic sport, it's also like, man, that's how I used to do it, you know? So it was a little flat for me as well. And I also, just because I would have loved to see this thing go so much longer, because everything that Jericho says and does is gold. And all the things that he did say about helping people, he has helped elevate them. And then the other part about that is telling Hook he's not ready. The fans may think he is, but he's not. And he has to get more seasoned. He is and will be. But not right yet. This is a business of seasoning. And I would have loved to seen this stretched out at least 2 months. But sometimes whatever behind the scenes happens. And so that's why stuff can't get progressed as long as it can.
Yeah, I like I said, I think this could have been a much longer program where we see them have major success and then the decline and then the foundation cracking and breaking, leading to the segment that we got last night. And I agree with you 100% because it was exactly what I was thinking, Tommy. First and foremost, all right, who is the one that brokered that whole segment? It was Taz. He was the one that wanted to get Jericho and Hook together. Right away, I dislike Hook. You're disrespecting your dad. Your dad put that together, and then you come in, you're eating a bag of potato chips, and you're leaning against the top turnbuckle. To me, all right, you have that reaction to Jericho, but I'm looking at it, it's like you're disrespecting your father. Your father's standing in the ring. He's the one that put this together, and you're leaning against the turnbuckle eating a bag of potato chips. I get that's his character, but when you have Taz and you're using Taz in that scenario, you want to see a little bit more of a different side of Hook because you are using your dad. And if you're using Taz, and a lot of times we talked about the lack of using Taz, now you're using him, so it should be a big deal. It should be a much bigger deal to Hook. And I agree with you. You talked about that story, and thank you for sharing that story about your dad. I was thinking about my dad, too. My dad, believe it or not, you wouldn't know it by looking at me. My dad was a badass. My dad was a leather jacket, motorcycle driving. That was my dad. And he, because of cancer and because of heart problems, he was like a shell of himself the last 10 years of his life. So Taz is having health issues. I was explaining this to producer Paul before the show. If I saw anybody get physical with my dad, I'm not just saying, get out of my ring, get out of my ring. You went over the line. I'm swinging. I don't give a shit who you are, what size you are. You get physical with my dad and you push my dad down like Jericho did to Taz. I don't give a shit. Fists are flying right after that. And the fact that like Hook made it about himself. And as you said, he didn't even check on his dad who was laying on the ground. Like, what are you thinking? Like, to me, that was, man, that was such a big swing and a miss last night. And it doesn't get me at all invested in the match that they're having on Dynasty on Sunday. I'm sorry. And I hate saying that because I love Jericho. And I thought Jericho was really good in that segment. But, man, to me, the way they used Hook and Hook's attitude and even the attitude after his father got knocked down, man, that was a major swing and a miss last night.
There was so many key moments, like when Jericho first turned and like put his like thumbs up, finger up to Taz, like hold up, and like the fans were like, oh, they started simmering. Jericho tried reeling them in many times. When he did the straight up palm to your face, they were like, oh man, this is either going to be Taz comes back or this is going to be Jericho comes back. You could listening to the crowd. Also, when you have Taz, he needs to be treated special. Same with Tony Schiavone. When you have two guys who are legends in this industry, but also, like, you know, Taz to keep that mystique of Taz. And again, I understand it's not his time anymore, but he can, like, it just, it could have been better. Or use a different person. And as your interviewer, when these people interview you or do something, it needs to be special. That had all the ingredients to be special, but then the execution and the follow through didn't work as well. Because just like you said, if somebody like Dave, if me and you were hanging out in your house and I push your father down, I know you'd be like, Tommy, what the hell? And you'd get involved in it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just one of those things that if they had more time and able to tell a longer story, but sometimes in the world of pro wrestling, it happens so fast. I feel the same exact way. I don't know how the nation felt. I just thought they could have had so much something bigger and then not so much. Or even like if Taz takes off the glasses and there's just like, get your finger out of my face. And then Hook steps in and then like there's something accidental or subject to questionable deniability. But this was just straight up push. Yeah. And then, you know, Taz like, you know, I'm still friends with Jericho. He was hot-headed.
What the fuck was that? I agree. You know what? You actually said something on it. Maybe start thinking, maybe it would have been better if it was, say, a Tony Schiavone in that position. Like Tony Schiavone saying, hey, you know, I see Hook as an up-and-comer. Jericho, we've known each other for a long time. Let's get you two in the ring. Let's have an interview. Because then if Jericho goes and pushes Schiavone, then you know what? Hook's going to be upset, but not at the degree where he's going to be checking on Tony Schiavone. So maybe it would have worked better if it was like an outsider doing that intervention as opposed to Taz. And then you could have built towards Taz. Because even like Taz getting a little bit upset saying, hey, Chris, calm down. What Jericho was saying wasn't, to me, that bad for Taz to go from a 0 to 100 in that moment either. Like it would have been better if that segment went a little bit longer and you see Jericho getting a little bit more frustrated and a little bit more frustrated where he starts name calling Hook and saying, you know what, Hook, you know what, to be quite honest with you, lately you've been shit in the ring. That's going to be enough for Taz to stop, come in and be like, whoa, man, now you're stepping over the line. But even the stuff that was coming out of Jericho's mouth, I didn't think was enough for like Taz to get involved like the way he did. Rushed. It was rushed. That's the only thing I could say. It was rushed.
Well, Yes, but the other part of it is, like I said earlier, emotional investment. There's two ways to turn somebody or break up a tag team. Over time, where you so know somebody is going to turn, but you just don't know when. Like, you're like, oh, this is it, this is it. Oh, no, this isn't it. Or shock, complete and utter shock. Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty, were having their beef. They break up. Shock. Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan. Time. Like, oh, look at Savage. Oh, even Elizabeth's getting in there. And then it finally happens when you're like, man, I knew these guys couldn't get along, but finally they fought. So it's, we don't have that time with these two, and their relationship was rocky from the start. I don't know why. Like I said, it's splitting up because Jericho could get anything and everything over. And I do think that team, you know, you're coming to name a new AEW tag team champions coming up. They could have kept on building their togetherness as a team and then challenge the winners of the new tournament. And then if, like, it's literally like, just give us a little bit. And yes, we're not going to win the tag titles, but we came so close. But no, hey, kid, if you keep listening to me, you know, and you just keep on having these little moments, and then it's like, oh, man, now it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. And it just still doesn't happen. And also because Hook is a second-generation wrestler, he's going to have a little bit more tolerance, a little bit more respect for the veteran. So that was it.
Yeah, no, I could tell, Tommy, and I agree with you. You're looking at it, you know, from, you know, 40,000 feet, and you're like, that could have been magic. Like, that could have been a really cool story. Because listen, Jericho's a legend. You know he gets everything over. He's amazing on the microphone. If they were given more time, Jericho would have been able to tell one hell of a story. The fans are starting to turn on Jericho a little bit. You could have played on that. The fans love Hook. You could have played on that. And then you could have built towards a moment where Taz got knocked down. That's a major moment. And like you said, the next segment, he's back on commentary. It's like, all right, let's move on. Let's hurry up and let's move on. Where that could have been a moment and a story, Tommy, where people were talking about it for years. There was the potential there to have that be one of the major stories that AEW has ever told. And it's like, let's hurry up and rush through it so we can have a match on the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Again, time and time vested into something. TV time is prime real estate. Getting people to be emotionally invested into two characters. We're already invested in them as singles. Now let's get them over together as a tag. We go so far. It didn't work out. And then what? And then that then what is the biggest thing. And if they had success or they reach to the top, you know Jericho's going to turn. And then this deal gets brokered to kind of like put them back together. Hey, you guys had success, blah, 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 blah. And then all that stuff happens.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm watching Dynamite last night and Violetta's walking into the room and she was like, oh, Jericho's with Hook now? And I was like, nah, they're actually just broke up. Like, it happened that fast.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now, we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully. Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast.
Our very own Thunder Rosa from last night. Now, we are going to go back out to the Busted Open Nation. Tommy, you have a ton of callers that want to talk about Dynamite from last night. But, you know, our very own Thunder Rosa getting a great response from the crowd. Mariah May and Deonna Purrazzo. And then that match, Toni Storm gets involved. And then we see Thunder Rosa come out because we're going to see Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm for that AEW Women's Championship at Dynasty on Sunday, a title, Tommy, that Thunder never lost. So let's go back to Dynamite last night.
What was up with Deanna tonight? You came down to the ring.
Oh, wait, hold on. Stop for a second. Stop. I thought we were playing a clip from the show, but that was actually a clip of Thunder Rosa with Bully from Busted Open After Dark. So maybe we'll play that a little bit later. But what did you think of the match with Mariah May and Deanna Peraza? And what did you think of Thunder Rosa from last night?
Enjoyed the match. I liked the aftermath more and the story they're still trying to tell. Deanna Peraza, the virtuosa, kind of feels a little jilted, I think. I think we're going to see more of the virtuosa attitude because she's more of a heel than an amazing heel. The aftermath, all the story. The story is not about Mariah May and Deanna Peraza. The story really is Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa and another layer of how you get there, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed how they got there. The fans enjoyed the match. The aftermath. The aftermath was kind of opposite, but a good connection of what happened last week with, you know, the makeup that Thunder cut a promo and kind of peeled back her own to show herself and kind of unhinged a little bit, which her character could be. And then, you know, old school would be, you know, the heel puts the makeup in exotic Adrian Street. You know, it's like, oh my God, how dare they do that? Newer school, this thought process is like what she did, I thought was effective, how Toni Storm sold it. It's like the ultimate, like, how dare you do that to me, which I thought was cool. And looking forward to this match because of what? It has a real story, a real backstory, and the two women are very, very good in the ring, so they're going to have a really good match. And then there's also the continuation. We've also seen Thunder and Deanna tag. We've also seen them have little tiffs already. So I think after this match is going to happen, I think we'll see a continuation where Deanna turns completely heel, which would be a great move for Deanna.
Yeah, there's a lot here. First of all, you know, we talked about Jericho and Hook, and we wish there was a little bit more to the story than what there is. They're telling a really good story here with Thunder, Deanna, and Toni Storm, and Mariah May. Like, you know, I was begging for them to give Thunder Rosa a live microphone. They did that on Collision this past Saturday. We saw Toni Storm disrespect Thunder Rosa with the makeup, and I love what, you know, Thunder Rosa did last night with Toni Storm and her makeup. I thought that was great. You're right. Thunder got a great response from the crowd last night. And I agree with you about Deanna Peraza, because even though we love seeing Deanna Peraza come to AEW, even like, and we talked about this a lot, Tommy, when she comes to down the entrance ramp, she's still doing kind of like some of that heelish things that we've seen her do in the past. And she got a good response from the crowd. But during that match last night, it felt like Deanna kind of lost the crowd last night. And by the end of that match, it seemed like to me, and I would love to hear from somebody that was actually at Dynamite last night, felt like the crowd got behind Mariah May. Obviously, that changed once Thunder Rosa came out. And whether Thunder wins the championship on Sunday or whether she loses to Toni Storm, you could tell immediately after Dynasty, Tommy, it's going to be a nice story and program between Thunder and Deanna Peraza.
And here's the bigger story, and I know you have Mercedes Moné on the field. Your biggest story is Mariah May when she eventually turns on Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Mariah May will be a massive star for AEW if you continue her trajectory. And what I'm saying is exactly what we were talking with Jericho and Hook. We have these two people invested with each other over time. Obviously, why does Mariah May need Toni Storm? She doesn't. But she hangs out with her because at first she was like a stalker somewhat, right? Or an obsessed fan.
Yeah. Yep.
So she will be a big star eventually when that turn happens. And that's what I said. It's going to be so much, when is this turn going to happen? When is, and then once it does, it's going to be big. I think the Thunder and Tony will go one way. And then you'll have more like Deanna and Thunder, as well as then you'll have Mariah with Tony. Obviously, you'll be trying to go with Mercedes Moné and Tony, but there's also a lot of money with Mariah May. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're doing storytelling with Thunder Rosa, Tommy. I'm glad that they're doing that because obviously we know Thunder Rosa can go in the ring, but that's only telling half the story. You need to give a little bit of a background, a little bit of context. And I'm glad they're finally doing that. And I'm super happy that they gave her some mic time and some TV time, which they've been able to do these last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, they've also started investing more in the storylines for the women, which is 100% needed. And I know we'll talk about, you know, the whole Mercedes Moné, Willow, all that stuff. Collision. There's also been nice connective tissue if you go from watching Dynamite to Collision. And I like some of, I feel they do need more promotables that way. But I think with the NBA playoffs, it's going to mess a lot of stuff up with that. But again, everybody needs stories when you're on television. Just good matches does not equate to ratings, filling your houses. It's great matches tied with great storylines. That's what you always need. That's this. It's the easiest formula, but not always the simplest formula.
Well, you know, you need a story leading to a great match. Like, you know, you get a great match, and I think that's why people love AEW pay-per-view so much, is because you got great talent and they're going to give you great matches. But you got to tell great stories leading up to those pay-per-view matches. And AEW does have time on their side, Tommy, because they don't have a pay-per-view every month. So you're not tied to, like, telling a quick 3 or 4 week story. You can give it some time. So I think they kind of did that here with Thunder Rosa. And again, the biggest story of all is that Thunder never lost that championship. So I really don't know who's going to win this match on Sunday between Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa. I really don't.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we heard a little bit of it for Busted Open After Dark last night. Bully had Thunder as a guest, and I believe she spoke a lot about Deanna Purrazzo.
What was up with Deanna tonight? It you came down to the ring. It seemed like you want to help Deanna out, but she took exception to that.
Let me make this straight. I don't want to help Deanna. I wasn't there for Deanna. I was there because there was an opportunity for me to get to Tony, and it happens that Deanna was in the ring, you know. It was a perfect opportunity for me, because I told you, I don't want her help, and I'm pretty sure she does not want my help.
I mean, you guys got into a bit of a shoving match there. I mean, how bad is the blood with you and Deanna right now?
I mean, last Wednesday, I got knocked out with that silver thing, and then she comes, and then I didn't know where I was, and she just told me to fuck off. Like, You don't come and help, and then you tell the person to fuck off. Like, come on, man. Like, have some respect. Like, I don't even know where I was. You know, I thought it was Tony, the person that touched me. But since now I know her true intentions, you know, and we both want the same thing that Tony has, I know she's not my friend. And she said that a friend's of her enemy of her friends, that's bullshit. Like, it's not. I know what it is. She's going for what I want and what is mine. And she had her turn, and she just lost.
And if you were wondering what Thunder said because of the beeps, it was fuck. But yeah, you can tell, Tommy, that there's definitely a lot of tension between Thunder Rosa and Deanna Purrazzo.
Yep. And that'll be a very, very interesting story and a very, very interesting. Listen, I'm a big fan of Deanna Purrazzo. The Virtuoso was a character that she had created, known, was given so much time to hone her skills in TNA. And like you said, the flicking of the hand, that's the Virtuosa, but I don't know if that character translates to the AEW fan base. They of course know who she is, but that could be like, why are you dismissing me? You have to get over your taunts, nuances, signature moves in the place that you currently work. Two, we talk about with NXT, does it carry over to Raw, SmackDown? No, it doesn't. So it's, you have to get yourself over this character, but the best version of Deonna Purrazzo is a heel.
I definitely agree with that. And of course, that sound was from Bully's Busted Open After Dark. You can hear each and every Wednesday night immediately after AEW Dynamite.
The Busted Open podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@Busted Open Podcast. Subscribe right now.
I loved the main event with Will Ospreay and Claudio. There were some specific moments. It was a different type of Will Ospreay match, which I thought was also a better type of match. Claudio brings out the best in his opponents. Loved the finish. Loved all of the physicality, the false finishes. I thought it was another great Will Ospreay showing. And then I was like a little confused how the show was going off the air so early. And then when they had the other segment, which I loved that they said earlier that Swerve was going to confront Joe. And one of the cooler things that I came unglued for, rewound, Swerve going to the top rope and not diving on the pile, kicking the crap out of those poor security guards. Those guys should get bonused for one guy specifically because he got blasted. Not that he got hurt, but just it's a lot of trust being having your back turned and having someone and you don't know who which person it's going to be. So those group of pro wrestlers who are playing with security, shout out to you guys. There's some unsung heroes and deserve a little bit of a tryout just for taking that one little hit. But I really enjoyed those last two segments, and I did feel, that's why I said the show was a B+. I really enjoyed the atmosphere. It was exactly that crowd, that show, and that atmosphere is exactly what AEW needed to roll into their pay-per-view, which I think will be off the charts.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I want to get into as well, Tommy, we teased it, is Mercedes. We saw Mercedes get attacked in the dark. She had the promo last night. I don't know what it is. She's on the microphone. She's just not grabbing me. I want to give her a chance. She's had a few, several occasions with the microphone. We know that she's not cleared to be in the ring. She made it clear. I guess that's going to happen by double or nothing. And I think my attitude's going to change on with Mercedes once that happens. But I don't know what it is. I don't know what's missing. She's not really emotionally grabbing me right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Being there but not being able to wrestle sometimes actually hurts the person. You had this big, awesome debut, and then the follow-up. The follow-up is key. When you physically can't do anything or you're not medically cleared, it does take a setback because you could talk smack, you could see all this stuff, and even like, not that it's a disconnect, but if I'm not medically cleared, but then somebody jumped me from behind, I'm already hurt, and then I get hurt again, and then I'm back the next week. There's a little bit of wonkiness. So there's sometimes also good to not see a person all the time because they can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, if there's these limitations, then limit your – we don't need to see her every week. We need to – we know she's there. Again, great debut. The follow-up was okay. If you can't do physical stuff, then maybe just kind of disappear to come back again.
And it also feels like to me that she comes across as a heel, like with her promos and the way she talks and the message she's delivering it. It kind of comes across as a heel. Like you just said about Deonna Purrazzo, like Deonna Purrazzo is better suited as a heel. I feel like what we've gotten from Mercedes so far is more geared towards being a heel. And I guess it's going to be interesting to see who the person is that attacked her, because Is it somebody that's already on the roster? Could it be a returning Britt Baker? A lot of people are saying, is it, you know, Chris Statlander? There's a lot of different guesses, and that's always good when they got you thinking, they got you guessing. I just feel like Mercedes, especially with the whole CEO thing, when we know she's really not a CEO, there's EVPs, and we've already seen those roles filled and played out on TV. It seems like, to me, she comes across more as a heel than a babyface.
That will get over once she's able to work, because she's an amazing wrestler. The other part of it is her first opponent needs to be the perfect opponent. You could come into a company, any company, based upon your laurels, based upon what you've done somewhere else. Eventually, you have to step in the ring and prove yourself there. You know, if we're talking sports, free agency, oh, this person was signed from another team, this person was great. This person has to deliver for this team, or else those team's fans are going to crap on you. Then in our business, yes, you can turn heel. In real sports, you cannot. Her character, yes, I feel is over the top designed to be that way because of the boss. Listen, I mean, Sasha is a great, great babyface, but she's also a great, great heel. Depends on where you want to go and what you want to do with her. Main thing is she has to get healed up, so hence why maybe you don't see her all the time or make her special. Don't know if you want to put her on commentary, because then she's still kind of just regular. Just like I said about Taz and Shivani, you have certain people that need to be always treated as special, and sometimes seeing people too much doesn't make them as special. Case in point, who? The Rock. I'm going to be here, here, and here. All those places are sold out. Cool, but well, guess what? I'm going away. But we have a new story to tell when I come back. See ya.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.